proclaiming the gospel throughout the world. Bill Winston Ministries is bringing lost souls to Jesus Christ and teaching them how to walk in a victorious life. We invite you to receive all the blessings that God has for your life. Bill Winston Ministries presents The Believer's Walk of Faith.
Well, hello, I'm Bill Winston, and welcome to another program. The program that you're watching is called The Believer's Walk of Faith, where we walk by faith and not by sight. We have a teaching today that you must sit and listen to. This is one that you need to follow it through in your Bibles, because this is a revelation you don't want to escape. Now, the one thing I'm going to bring out in here is that there were some three Hebrews that had gone into captivity because of Nebuchadnezzar had come down and taken Judah captive, and three Hebrews went into captivity along with Daniel. But one thing that they said about them in Daniel chapter 1, that they found them to be 10 times better than the people in Babylon. You see, you and I, as believers, can operate 10 times better than people who don't know God. Glory to God. That's worth looking at this teaching by itself. Praise the Lord. Get your Bibles and pencils and papers ready. Get ready to take some good notes now. Let's go into it. It's called Revelation of Royalty. All right, over in Daniel chapter 1, verse 3, "And the king spake unto Asphanaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel, and of the king's seed, and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well favored, and skillful in all wisdom, and cunning in knowledge, and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans." So, what is he doing now? Babylon is now coming down, and he's coming down to take these people of the children of Israel, and he's coming to take them and place them in Babylon. Now, what is his plan? His plan is to train them up and to use them. Now, he took them. Why? Because what he wanted to use is use their talents. He wants the energetic people that he could use their talents to expand his kingdom, Babylon. Now, what happens is that Satan is not an originator. He cannot create or prepare people who have nothing. So he takes the ones who have something and uses them, and leaves the ones who have nothing. But God is an originator. He can take the ones who have nothing and make them something. Okay? Now, this is a piece that we want to see here, because let's look at a couple of verses here, if you will. Let's look at Exodus chapter 4, please. Exodus chapter 4. Look at verse 10. Because God's telling Moses to go down there. And Moses said unto the Lord, "O my Lord, I am not what? Eloquent, neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am what? Slow of speech and of a slow tongue." And the Lord said unto him, "Well, who made your mouth?" I'm paraphrasing now, okay? "Or who maketh the dumb or deaf, or the seeing or the blind? Have not I the Lord?" In other words, wait a minute. If I chose you, I'm going to qualify you. You follow what I'm saying? Now, I'm saying this because what happens in this environment is that experience in this environment that I'm talking about now is not necessarily the best teacher. All right, let's go to another place. Let's go to Exodus chapter 29, please. Exodus chapter 29. See, we come from an environment that if you don't have some natural skills, in other words, if you're not a polished speaker, if you're not eloquent, If you're not good at mathematics, if you're not so forth and so on, then you don't qualify. But God is an originator. Come on now. That means that God can take a crooked stick and hit a straight lick. God can go back and reconstitute your whole brain cells in one night, in one second. Come on now. I'm talking about God, the God that we serve now. See, and this the devil cannot do. So he had to take the so forth cream on the crop, and he left the other because he thought he had God then. So next, in Exodus chapter 29, and look at verse 21, and thou shalt take of the blood that is upon the altar and of the anointing oil, and sprinkle it upon who? Aaron, and upon his garments, and upon his sons, and upon his garments, upon the garments of his sons with him, and he shall be hallowed, and his garments, and his sons' garments with him. Now, what is Moses going to do with this oil? He's going to pour it on, or sprinkle it on Aaron. Why? Because Aaron's about to be anointed. To be anointed for what? To be anointed to perform the priestly functions. In other words, he's going to go into that temple and know what to do and never been taught. Now, you better hear what I'm telling you, man. You got to hear me. See, church, we've been acting like the world. The world don't have this. All they got is skill. Now, thank God for skill, but God can put something else on your skill. He can put some super on your natural. Come on now. Let's go to another place. Exodus chapter, see, I got to teach this. Exodus chapter 31, please. Exodus chapter 31, verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, see, I have called by name Bezaleel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And I have filled him with the spirit of what? Who? God. And what? In wisdom and in understanding and in knowledge and in all manner of workmanship. You see, they're about to build something for God. And to build something from God, God's going to take the glory for it. He's going to give you the ability to build for him. Amen. So verse 4, to devise cunning works into the work of gold, work in gold and in silver and in brass and in cutting of stones, to set them in the carving of timber and to work all manner of workmanship. And I, behold, I have given with him Aholiab, the son of Ahashima. Ooh, I'm pronouncing these words, aren't I? Of the tree. That's the anointing that's doing that, pray the Lord. Of the tribe of Dan, and in the hearts of all that are wise-hearted, I have put what? Wisdom, that they may make all that I have commanded thee. Say, of thee. And my point to you is the enemy thought he had the church when he left folks, you know, that didn't have much skill in there. But God is an originator, see? I can do so. Turn to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel. Hallelujah. Ooh-wee. Come on now. You might be dumb today and smart tomorrow. Hallelujah. Praise God in heaven. Now, 1 Samuel chapter 16. 1 Samuel chapter 16. Let me know when you get there. All right, this is when Samuel came to the house of Jesse, and he said, hey, God sent me here to anoint one of your boys to be king. Well, what happened? He paraded all his one that he had in the house before him, and he said, no, they are not here. He said, do you have any more? He said, yeah, I got another one. He's a guitar pick out there in the keeping sheep. And he said, go get him. He went and got him, and look at verse 12 of 1 Samuel chapter 16. And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and withal a beautiful countenance and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel arose up and went to Ramah. Turn to 1 Samuel chapter 17. This is when they are facing this man called Goliath. And look what happened. David comes to the front line, verse 29, if you will. And David said, "What have I done? Is there not a cause?" In other words, you're going to let this man talk to you and about your God like that, and you're not going to do anything about it? And he turned from him towards another and spake after the same manner, and of the people, and the people answered him again after the former manner. And when the words were heard which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul, and he sent for him. And David said unto Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Wait a minute, you're not able to go up against this Philistine to fight with him? For thou art but a what? Youth, and he is a man of war from his youth. You are only a boy." I'm reading it out of the Living Bible. "You are only a boy, and he has been in the army since he was a boy." In other words, he's been trained. He knows how to do this. He's been to this class. He's been to this school. He's been to this preparation. He's been to this, and he's had some battles that he's fought. But David got anointed. And when you get anointed, it will cut through this school, that school, that school. Lord have mercy. Now, I am not talking about don't go to school, because God can use that. Let me show you. Turn to Daniel, please, and Daniel chapter 1. Lord, have mercy. Come on now. You see, we haven't connected with the anointing. The church is still trying to live on the level of natural man, and that is not where you're supposed to live. God has a high life for you instead of a low life. He wants you to come up and talk like God, walk like God, think like God, act like God, and believe like God. Oh, yeah, folks. And that's what Babylon does. See, if you don't go here, don't go there, you can't do this. Folks, in the last days, the rain is coming. And God's going to restore the years that the canker worm... I'm talking about years, not just your years. He's going to restore the years of mankind. He's going to take him back to the garden where Adam got it directly from God. You watch and see. I'm preaching hard, better than you saying amen. Look at Daniel chapter. Let me know when you get to Daniel chapter 1. Have you got it? Look at verse 20, please. Verse 20. You're there, aren't you? Yes. "And in all the matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all his realm." In other words, these were the people who came from the more learned and technologically savvy and so forth. Those are the ones that Nebuchadnezzar got. But when he got them and brought them in, all of a sudden, he compared them with his people. And they began to perform 10 times better than the best astrologers and sorcerers and everybody in Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom. So I'm saying, even if you have education, God can put some anointing on that education to distinguish you, to let other folk know that you ain't just somebody just been through school. You have been through the school of the Holy Ghost. Amen. How many ready to go to Holy Ghost school? All right, last place. Let's go over here. No, not last place. I got two places. Okay. Well, I got to slow down. Okay, now, let's go to Micah chapter 4, please. Verse 10. "Be in pain and labor to bring forth, O daughter of Zion, like a woman in travail. For now shalt thou go forth out of the city, and thou shalt dwell in the what? Field. and thou shalt go even to who, where? Babylon. There shall thou be delivered. There the Lord shall redeem thee from the hand of thine enemies. Are you with me here? So God deliberately plants his people in Babylon. Oh, we come in here, have a good time, this is the day, and then we sit in the corner and so forth. But what we don't know is that we're being trained up in here to be planted in Babylon. So you and I are to be planted out there. Now, one more place. Let's go real quick now. Let's go to Matthew chapter 13, please. Matthew chapter 13. The church is designed for the world. We are designed for it. Don't be trying to, I don't like that world. No, honey. You are designed for it. You're supposed to go into it. Now, God's got something up. He's going to plant you into that world. Now, what they don't know is that you're coming in there to blow up. Now, when I say that, I mean that God's going to raise you up in there. Say amen to that. Now, look what it says in verse 31 of Matthew 13. Another parable he put forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took, and he sowed in his what? Field. That's what it said in Micah, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the what? Greatest among herbs, and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge on the branches thereof, becomes the most powerful influence in the world. So notice, he's going to plant you in the world. So he took Joseph, or he took Daniel, and he took them and planted them in the world. But here's one he really took and planted in the world. Turn to Esther, please. So here was Esther, and Esther was, as you know, a Jewish woman, but somehow she ended up in the king's palace, and then was a heathen king, and she ended up replacing the king's wife, Vashti. Now, the king was persuaded by a wicked man named Haman to make a decree that all the Jews would be killed. But now, Mordecai, who was Esther's uncle, told Esther, go in there and fix it with the king, because the people are about to be destroyed or killed. And Esther said, I can't go in there unless the king invites me. He said, wait a minute, Esther. Hold on just a minute. Let's pick up at verse 12 of chapter 4. And they told to Mordecai Esther's words. Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. In other words, they're going to get us, they're going to get you too. And verse 14, because the law said it. Verse 14, for if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. In other words, if you believe in for some money and somebody don't want to obey God and give it to you, then God will have a bird, if he needs to fly in there, but your deliverance will come. Now, but thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for what? Such a time as this. God has no time. He sees the end from the beginning. So he knew that Haman was going to come up with a scheme about this time to destroy the children of God. But what did he do? He then placed a woman in the kingdom and got her ready for such a time as this. So when Haman jumped up and act bad, and the king made a wrong decree that Esther was going to be there to be defending the people of God. So what happened? It's Esther fasted for 3 days and then got her royal robe on. Come on now, kind of like this suit I got on. put on her alligator crocodile shoes. Come on now. And walked in there, and the king pointed the scepter at her, and she touched the scepter, and the king said, Esther, whatever you want up to half of my kingdom, I'm gonna give you. But notice what God did. He planted his people in a place of the heathen for such a time as this. But that's not all. How about go to God? One more place. Genesis chapter 45. Let me know when you get there with your smart self. You 10 times smarter than the smartest folk that come out of the finest universities in the world. Oh, glory to God. Say it, confess it. I know 10 times more. In the name of Jesus. Look what it says. Here is Joseph. He was taken in chains, sold by his brothers, down to a place called Egypt. And his Ishmaelites sold him to a man named Potiphar. Potiphar got him, and the blessing was on Joseph. He was raised up in Potiphar's house. Notice he became the most influential person in the house. But here comes a wicked scheme from Mrs. Potiphar, and she accused him of some kind of sexual harassment. But he got ended up thrown in jail. But when he got in jail, because he had the king's image in him, he rose up to be over the jail. And notice what happened. One day the king had a problem. Pharaoh called for him. He came up, gave Pharaoh the answer, and took over the whole of Egypt. Now, time for Joseph's brothers to be reunited. They came down, and then Joseph began to show that he was Joseph, their brother. They didn't even recognize him. And look what it says in verse 3 of chapter 45. When Joseph said unto his brethren, I am Joseph. Doth my father yet live? And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. And Joseph said unto his brethren, come near to me, and I pray you. And they came near, and he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold unto Egypt. Now therefore, be not grieved, nor angry with yourselves, that you sold me hither. For God did send me before you to preserve your life. You see, God planted Joseph in Egypt on purpose. God is planting you in that company on purpose. God is putting you in business on purpose. God is putting you in Hollywood on purpose. God is putting you in sports on purpose for such a time as this.
Well, praise the Lord. I trust that you enjoyed that teaching. Now, that's called Revelation of Royalty. Now, notice what happened here. The Nebuchadnezzar in Babylon went down and took Judah captive. See, took the Jews captive, brought the Hebrews back, and these three Hebrews plus Daniel, they found them to be 10 times better than the people of Babylon. Now, what am I saying here? I'm saying that you and I, under the blessing of Abraham and the anointing of God, have a potential of functioning 10 times better than people who don't know God. Praise the Lord. Now, this is our time. Now, notice what was happening. King Nebuchadnezzar was invading Judah, again, you know, and the Jews, and carrying them away. But really, God was invading Babylon. Because what he was doing is he was taking those people who had been taken captive. Now he's going to create a 10 times better operation in them, and they're going to be raised to the top and rule in that Babylonian kingdom. And do you know that's exactly what began to happen? These teachings and more are available to you. The address and phone number are on your screen. Order it right now. You will not go wrong. God has plans for you to be 10 times better than the people in the world. Well, this is Bill Winston. That's all we have for this time. Until next time, keep walking by faith.
Once you received Jesus as the Lord of your life, you were engrafted into God's royal family. You are a child of the King, and the authority of the kingdom is within you. before you can exercise your kingship, you must have a revelation of your royalty.
If you know your royalty and you know how a king or royalty is supposed to act, it will affect your behavior.
In this new series by Dr. Bill Winston, you'll learn that you are a speaking spirit and everything in the universe must adjust itself to accommodate the words you speak.
You got to believe that what you speak is going to come to pass. Say amen to that, and you will have what you say.
Order Revelation of Royalty Volume 2, There's a King in You, today, and Dr. Winston will explain why the church is designed to be the most powerful institution on this earth, why God created you to be a creative being, why you cannot rise any higher than your confession, and much more.
So now we're going to start talking to stuff. We're going to start talking out of our spirit, not out of our mind. We're going to get the word of God in here and speak it out. If he said, let the poor say I'm rich, start saying I'm rich.
To order your copy of Revelation of Royalty Volume 2, There's a King in You, simply write to Bill Winston Ministries, P.O. Box 947, Oak Park, Illinois, 60303. By bank card at 1-800-711-9327 or online at www.bwm.org. As believers, it is important that we know who and what we are in Christ. These teachings are designed to reveal the true nature of the royalty that's on the inside of you. Make no mistake about it, there's a king in you. Order your copy of this powerful series, Revelation of Royalty, Volume 2, today. While in the Chicagoland area, Pastor Winston personally invites you to Living Word Christian Center. We're located at 7600 West Roosevelt Road in Forest Park, Illinois, just 20 minutes from downtown Chicago. Our Sunday services are at 7, 9, or 11:15 a.m. with a midweek Bible study Wednesday at 6:30 p.m. We have Spanish translators and sign language for the hearing impaired. A warm seat awaits you at Living Word Christian Center. For more information, please call 708-697-5000. Today's message is available in its entirety on CD or DVD when you use the product number on your screen by writing to Bill Winston Ministries, P.O. Box 947, Oak Park, Illinois, 60303, by bank card at 1-800-711-9327 or online at www.bwm.org. Next week on the Believer's Walk of Faith.
So the anointing which is on your life is not only a burden remover and a yoke destroyer, but it is an endowment to on your gifting to make you 10 times better than the people that you're working around, so that God can raise you up so that you can provide leadership for a dark world.